today we're going to talk some more about which items have kedushas shvias. Last time we spoke about some of the rules. Today we're going to talk about two groups of items. And the first thing is herbs and flowers. Okay, and as I guess, the Mishnah is at the end of the seventh parak of shvias, say, mentioned this kedushas shvias on roses. Okay? And it's understood to mean that the reason why there's kedushas shvias on roses is because roses are used in making food. They use in something called rose water. The people who make tea out of the leaves.
Candy.
They candy the leaves also, that's correct. Yes, I forgot about that.
No, use it as flavor and candy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct. Yeah, they put with sugar on it. Masking. Okay, now, that's what the Mishnah says. And it's assumed that the Yishama talks about it lots of times, talks about that there's kedushas shvias on roses. It's very questionable whether that din of the Mishnah is still true nowadays, punked on roses. I mean, it's true what the din of the Mishnah says, is, whether it actually applies to roses is a question.
What's
the Mishnah? The Mishnah just lists it. No, I think the Vered.
Okay.
The Vered. So the
Mishnah
Shvias. Yeah. It's more than one time. So the thing is like this. I can't tell you about what was going on then, but nowadays like this. Nowadays, the people who use roses for those kind of uses that I just said to you, for making rose water and things, all kinds of things like that, use a specific type of rose, a certain breed of rose called Rosa Damascena, okay, or Damascus rose if you're American, okay, Rosa Damascena, that's what they call it. What did you say? Well, Latin, whatever it is. I don't know, it's called Damascus rose in English. That's what it is. Damask rose, or rose of Castile. Okay? And the truth is that other roses are not used. The roses that we see, okay, now, I'm sorry, take that back. There's another thing. There's another thing from roses that people use, which is not from the flower, which is called rose hips. That's the picture over there of rose hips. People use it for making vitamin C and for other purposes. Actually, when the Gemara talks about roses having all kinds of different parts to them, and each one has its own status, they don't have the same status. Just because one part has kedushas shvias doesn't mean the other part. The Gemara is very involved with all the different parts of the roses, which I don't know what all those parts mean. But anyway, there's all different kinds of parts.
Means develop into the flower?
I think it grows separately. On the tree. It's not the leaf. It's a separate piece that goes like a fruit. The bush. Bush. Whatever.
Right.
Whatever it is. No, I think that it's a fruit that grows. That's as like a fruit. Okay. Now but there are all the regular kind of roses that we see. Now I'm not such an expert to be able to tell you which one is or is not exactly what's supposed to have. But there's a very, very specific type. This rose of the Damascena is a very specific type that people use when they're trying to make all these food products. And the roses that we buy are not the same roses. And to say from a different angle, it's a very similar point, but to say from a different angle is, the Gemara says also that if a item that grows in the ground has more than one use, some is used for food items, things that need kedushas shvias, some that are not, that it depends why you picked it. Okay, there are some foods, if it's just the right way, it depends on why you picked it. If you had this covenant or that covenant, that is to say, why you picked it. So the people who are picking roses to sell in the forest are not the same people that their covenant is to sell these roses in the forest. That's what they're meant for. So even if you don't want to say that a rose damascena is so much different than any of the roses on the left side, you know, they're all roses, but it will at least be qualified for us to say is that it depends on why you picked it. And depending on why you picked it, I don't know, but I guess that the people picking for flowers are not the same people who are picking to make rose water and
candy. They don't pick all the roses and whatever good they sell.
So really, that's not what they do. Really, they pick, there's a very specific type that they grow just for making these items, other ones not. But even if you want to say, well, they're all the same in that case, when they're all the same, the guys who are growing them in California have this kavanah, the guys growing it in Mexico have a different kavanah. The people going to your forest, I suspect, are going just to your forest. I don't know, but that's what I suspect. So let us say that we it's not clear whether roses that the Mishnah says have kedushas shvias really have kedushas shvias. But at the same time, whether the rose punk does or doesn't have kedushas shvias is not so important to us. That's not dafka what's important to us. But what's important to us is that the Mishnah is saying that thing has kedushas shvias. And based on that, and something I'm going to tell you in a second, we come out that there are four different categories of these types of foods, of what I call herbs and flowers. And the first is what the Mishnah calls a rose. Okay, whether it means a rose, whether it negates us is not so important, which is, it's something that's edible. Something that you take this flowery, growing piece of leaf, okay, that's edible. For us, the best example for us are herbs. Okay, if I have parsley or rosemary, basically a piece of wood. I mean, basically just a plant that's growing. It's not like an apple. It's not like the fruit or something. It's actually like the grass itself. But it has a value that you use in food. You take the parsley and you cook it in your soup. But your mom, if you cook the food itself, you cook it and you use it as a food item. The Mishnah is saying for sure have kedushas shvi'is. Okay, those for sure have kedushas shvi'is. Okay, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that those have kedushas shvi'is. It happens to be. It's worth keeping in mind. Eretz Yisrael is a big exporter of herbs. So this is very negalized. This question of whether that herbs have kedushas shvi'is is based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about herbs, but based on the Mishnah is very lemaisa.
Is that a chiddush? The herbs are.
I guess it's a chiddush. I'm breaking your things into four categories. The source for it is from this Mishnah. Okay. Next, the next one is what's most discussed is Yerushalmi has a suffix. Whether it's kedushas shvi'is on besamim. Okay, what does besamim means? The way I'm about to explain to you is the way the Chazon says it's pretty accepted, which is the case in besamim means is something that grows in the ground. You don't eat it. It's not like a herb that you're going to take it and mamash put it into your food, but you specifically want to cut it off the ground because you want to smell it. Okay, because you specifically want for its fragrance, like the way we use with besamim, like a matzah shabbos. In the forest, they tell me hadas and myrtle branches. Attack of people will get adopted just by them just for fragrance. Okay, Yerushalmi has a suffix whether those things do or do not have kedushas shvi'is. Okay, I'm going to explain to you in a minute. When we come in a minute, I'll show you on the screen what the shaila is. What's the suffix of the Yerushalmi about that? But that's the shaila of whether something that has a specific you want for fragrance, it has kedushas shvi'is. Now, if I could use the word negotiating, or discussing with the people in Eretz Yisrael, which flowers they think fit into this. And I have a whole chart from them, a very worthwhile bunch of charts about Shemitah from people in Eretz Yisrael. And then it has a whole section on flowers. And as it stands now, I can't tell you that I'm getting it. I have a feeling that the Hebrew is messing it up a little bit. You know, my Hebrew and their English is messing this up a little bit. But they, so far, are saying to me is, they don't think there's any flowers that anybody buys for their fragrance. Okay, that's the way they're presenting it, and their list of flowers is for something else, nothing to do with this thing.
And therefore,
they think there are no flowers that qualify for this second step, the second category, which is something sold specifically for flavor. Now, that's what they said to me.
For fragrance.
That's what they said to me. That's not what the florist told me here. Okay, the florist told me here that there are plenty of flowers that are sold specifically for fragrance.
How about the looks?
Right, it's supposed to just because you like how pretty they are. I know that they're pretty. That's not what we're talking about. Question is, but when people walk into the store, they've adopted and say, oh, I like this one, not just because it's bright yellow, because it's fuchsia, because I want it because of the fragrance. Okay, I'm looking for the fragrance.
If you want the fragrance, they're going to put something ugly thing there, put something nice to make the fragrance.
Right.
It's sort of debris.
So these ones that we have here, stock, fuchsia, and orchids, there's a few other ones. I don't know if I pronounce this right. A few. So the
orchids and apple fragrance.
Orchids. It's past orchids.
Orchids is in orchids. South America.
Okay, now I have to tell you something.
Where are we?
I have to tell you. I have to say that you should know. The florist told me also here that not only do people buy them here for fragrance. She said is when I went to Eretz Yisrael. You can imagine if you're a florist and you go to Eretz Yisrael, you stop at flower shops. You know that's like just it's like you can't control yourself. So she walked into. She walked. In,
where do you stop? Different
houses.
So she walked in and she said she couldn't believe that Eretz Yisrael, she said, Mom, Toiva Ha'aretz Ma'in Ma'in, she didn't use those words. She said that the flowers of Eretz Yisrael have so much better fragrance than they do here in America. She said this, and the truth is that in America, flowers, Eretz Yisrael is a big exporter of flowers also. That's another thing, aside from herbs, they export a lot of flowers. You don't see those flowers in a cheap flower store. Okay? So that is to say, is depending on how much you spend on flowers, if you go to Jewel, you're not going to see flowers from Eretz Yisrael because they're a higher quality and they're more expensive. So the florist told me, yes, people buy flowers for fragrance. These are a few examples. And when you smell them in the store, I mean, each of these I smelled, and they really have a strong fragrance. I mean, she said, people have to buy them for that. And the ones from Eretz Yisrael have even more so. What she's selling from Canada, from California, Mexico, has a certain amount. The Eretz Yisrael ones are even more so. I don't know what to say. The people there are so sensitive. Nah, nobody buys anything just for fragrance. Maybe
can't afford it.
They look at it so.
Well, sure.
Maybe they can't.
And that's why.
Right. Maybe they can't.
Maybe it's just a cultural thing.
Cultural. And they're the cultural that they don't buy it for free. They can't afford it, or cultural that they don't like the flower. They don't like the smell.
Or they don't use flowers for
they use cigarettes for fragrance.
There you go.
Okay.
Are there perfumes made from...
Yes. So a perfume that's made from it would be part of this thing also. Yeah, that would be. But we're a little away from that. I don't know if that comes from Eretz Yisrael. I have no idea. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to two other categories, and then I'm going to go back to the Yerushalmi, what the Safek of Yerushalmi was. Okay? So the Chazon Ish says you should be machmir about the Safek. Okay? This Safek about what something that's sold specifically for fragrance, it's a Safek in Yerushalmi, and the Chazon Ish says you should be machmir about that Safek. Even though it's a Rabbanan, he says, because it's Sarfim with the Raisa, he says you should be machmir about the Safek. Okay? And it's pretty accepted that people are machmir about this case. So the first category was things that you don't just have for incidental fragrance, just watch the wire, but you care about them, you're going to actually eat them, they're going to be part of your food. And the second category is one that you sold dafka for the fragrance. The third one is things that have an incidental fragrance. They have an incidental fragrance. And that means, things that have an incidental fragrance means most flowers that you buy, okay, most flowers happen to have a fragrance in them, but you're not buying them because you want the fragrance. You're buying them because of the stem, because you like how pretty they are. Okay, but it's not because of the fragrance. The fragrance is incidental. Rosham Zalman was very clear that those things do not have Kedusha Shvias in them. That's not the Safek Yerushalmi. The Safek Yerushalmi was things that are doctored for fragrance. Rabbi Yashem, I've seen a few different things from him, and each one it says, even though it said last time that I said mutter, now I said asher. I said asher, now I said mutter. So it really was very unclear. It seems, that his final decision was that it's mutter. Okay, but you can, every day I find a new one that says, no, when I said yesterday there was mutter. So it's really not clear. It's not him. It's Talmid writing over what he said, and it's a little fuzzy as to what his final position was, but most people assume, like Rosham Zalman, we'll call it like Rosham Zalman, that things that are meant for, that incidentally have fragrance, do not have Kedusha Shvias at all, not even the Safek in Yerushalmi, and that's most flowers. Most flowers that you're going to buy are going to fit into that category, and the last is ones that have zero fragrance at all. Now, they don't have incidental fragrance, they're just totally for their looks. It's partial, everybody agrees that there's no Kedusha Shvias. Okay. So now, what's the Safek of Yerushalmi? So we had our four categories of herbs and flowers. What was the Safek of Yerushalmi where the flowers that are meant for fragrance do or don't have Kedusha Shvias? And this is going to be a reminder of what we spoke about last time. Okay, so the answer is there's a pirush on the Yerushalmi called Rash Sirilion, and the Rash Sirilion has in it, if you look at it, if you look at the pirush, it's in most versions of the Yerushalmi, it's not there. The whole pirush doesn't exist, but it is in other versions. When you read this pirush, you see that, well, we wouldn't see it. If you read it, you find out that somebody changed lots of parts of the Rosh Sirilio. And nobody knows whether the person who changed it was authentic, it was really the Rosh Sirilio telling them to change it, or just some other guy who just decided to change it. Okay, so in the periods of the Rosh Sirilio that you see in most places, you see it all according to the new version. Okay, in the newer Oizma Hadar Yerushalmis, it has it broken apart. They said, there's the original version, and what they call the British Museum version, and they put them in the different types of brackets so you can tell which is which. So in this place where I'm about to show you, Yerushalmi, there's two completely different Pirushim. One the original, and one the new version. Okay, two complete, and nobody really knows whether the new version is really written by him. Everybody knows that. In most printed copies, you see only the new version, and other people, tell you, if you look, it was all done in this version that's in the British Museum, but it's not clear at all whether it's authentic or not authentic. Are we seeing really what he said, or was it somebody else who just decided that he had his own thoughts about what the Rosh Sirilion should have been, you know, what he should have been to say? Okay, and you'll see it very clearly in what we'll say like this. Okay, and it's like this. Okay,
Which one's the older manuscript?
What?
It's a manuscript.
They're both manuscript. But if you buy the printed version, most printed version of Yerushalmi, you're going to see the new version only.
The new version is based on the museum?
Yes. Well, the other people said, wait a second, there was an original and a new version. And when they print Yerushalmi, they distinguish between what's old and what's new. You can see it in the same, you can see it side by side, but you can see, it didn't come out the way it was supposed to. The screen's not working the way it's supposed to. Sorry. Okay. Playing on the screen, right? Okay, my graphics is not working perfectly. That's true. Okay, and Yerushalmi is like this. Let's look first at the original. These were supposed to come up one at a time, not to confuse you. Okay, Yerushalmi is talking about like this. Yerushalmi is in the middle of this suffix, whether Besamim have Kedusha Shvias or they don't have Kedusha Shvias. Okay, it's in the middle of this suffix. And the Yerushalmi thinks it has a raya from a certain case that it does have Kedusha Shvias. Okay? So we're in a tzad to think that it has Kedusha Shvias. Let's look at the original verse. The Yerushalmi says, V'tayma, the reason why it has Kedusha Shvias, that Achilas Adam, Achilas Behemah, Tzivah Bacha, those are all the things that the Mishnah says have Kedusha Shvias. Achilas Adam, Achilas Behemah, for dying and for burning, all those are the Havi Dover Shavah, L'chol Nefesh, L'chol Hudach Tzivah. Those are the ones that are written, are the ones that are Shavah L'chol Nefesh. That's why they have Kedusha Shvias. It's very light. Like we saw last time, that there's a rule that only things that are Shavah L'chol Nefesh have Kedusha Shvias. So, Achila... Excuse me?
It's okay.
Shavah L'chol. These are things that are Shavah L'chol Nefesh, Shavah L'chol. And like we said last time, there's such a rule that it has to be Shavah L'chol. And therefore, that's what these are. And then he finishes off with Kvisa, the Hispe Kedusha Shvias, shiny. So things that are doing for laundry, why does that happen? The Chiyas, Chashivik, Ma'achila, that is considered that it's Shavah L'chol. Because everyone needs to do laundry. Okay, that's the side point. So he's saying is, the Yerushalmi is coming right from this case that we're talking about, that Besamim are considered Shavah L'chol. Well, I'm sorry, the suffix of the Yerushalmi is whether Besamim are Shavah L'chol or not Shavah L'chol, which many of you may be familiar with. In Hilchos Yontif, there's also a rule of Shavah L'chol Nefesh. You can only do malachas which are Shavah L'chol Nefesh. And also the Gemara says, burning besamim, here it's using besamim, but it's similar. Okay. Burning besamim is something that's not Shavah L'chol Nefesh, because not everybody appreciates burning besamim. This is not exactly that. It's similar. But the question is, the benefit that people have from fragrant flowers is that Shavah L'chol, so not Shavah L'chol. That's the Shavah L'chol Nefesh. That's the original. In the new version, it says, the time of the Achilas, on the Achilas, the Hemetzi, that's the same as the original. The Hamidomi Lachila, the Hanyasa Ubiur Shavu, Ava Bereach, Bashas Hanyasa, Leka Beer Blood. And what it means is like, and then, read the last part. What he said is, that the reason, what's special about these things is, that they're not Hanyasa Ubiur Shavu, they said, the Krisis, the Krisis, the Shayan, the Chiz, Chashiva, the Hanyu, Buur, Ika, Kaachas, Kama Achila. So now, the way it's explained, is like this. What he means to say is like this. Why should it not be Hanasa Biur and Shavah? So you'll remember, I told you, there's a rule. The Gemara says that just like Achila, you destroy it at the same time that you have the benefit from it, so too, only things that you have benefited from when you destroy it have Kedusha Shvias. Okay? There are two ways to understand what that rule means. Does that rule mean is, you must have the Hana and the Biur at the same time, just like by Achila, you have them both at the same time. So, if the beer happens after if the Hana happens after the beer, like the Gemara's case, when you burn firewood, you burn it first, and then the heat from it, that after it's destroyed, then it you have the Hana from it afterwards. So, if that case does not have Kedusha Shvias, and so too flowers, where the Hana happens before the beer, when you benefit from a flower, you smell it, you're not destroying it. It's not like when you eat an apple, when you at the eating and the benefit happen at the same time. But when you smell a flower, the hana happens before the beer. So it's not like achila. Achila, the hana and the beer happen at the same time. But burning wood or having flowers are not having hana and beer at the same time. One's before, one's after, but it's not at the same time. That's one side. The other side is that the only reason why firewood doesn't have Kedusha Shvias is not because they're not simultaneous. It's because the Hana happens after the whole product is destroyed. If it happens after it's destroyed, well then you never have Hana from the Shemitah product. The piece of wood, you never have Hana from it. It's only when it's not a piece of wood anymore, then you have Hana from it. But what would happen if you'd have the Hana before the beer, like by a flower that don't happen before the beer, you have Hana from the Shemitah product, then it does have Kedusha Shvias. Okay? So the second side, this newer version, it's trying to tell us, what does it mean that you have to have a Hanah before Shavah? Does it have to be simultaneous? Or does it just mean you have to have the Hanah before the beer?
In the newer version, why do you have to explain Kvisa? Like in the first version, the Mechadish Kvisa is considered Chiyas, and they said it's a Chiddush beyond. In the second Pshat, Kvisa fits right with the other one.
Because?
Because it's the Tanya Abba Hiko Ka'achas.
Because it's a question. I don't want to talk about Kvisa. It's a question. Well, Kvisa is not Hanah B'Yur Shavah. Okay, it's a question whether it is or is not. Whether you have the benefit when you destroy it or not. I'd rather not talk about it now. Okay, but the chiddush of the left side, of the newer version is, the chiddush of that side is that when we said that the rules has to be Hanah B'Yur Shavah, does that mean that they mamash have to be simultaneous like when you eat it? Or does it just mean is the Hanah has to happen before the beer? In other words, before you lose the product, before it became something else, like in the wood it got burnt out. But if you had that enough beforehand, then maybe that would not be a problem. Okay? Anyway.
Something I know by Achille, even without destroying it, when you're take a first bite in it, you're getting the hand off of the tam.
Yeah.
It's still bad.
The piece that you're eating, that you're enjoying, you're chewing it up. It's gone.
It's still here. The more discussed,
pieces
if I'm not mistaken, when you swallow something and it comes back up,
okay.
That it's
okay. So the answer is things that you eat for sure have kedushas shviyas. So that little difference is not important. When the Gemara says it has to be hanok b'rosh hashanah, it has to be roughly at the same time. Roughly in the same time. Is there a nafka mina? What the pshat is? Well, the nafka mina is just going to be, well, if you think one of them is right, well, how do you get to the other one? Let's say you think that the soft b'rosh hashanah is the shavu lako. What's the din about hanok b'rosh hashanah when the hanok is before the b'rosh, the other way around? Okay, so the Chazanish, I forgot to say, Chazanish says, like the original version, he doesn't mean the Rashi Shavili that I remember, he just says like the original version, and everybody wonders, well, why does he say the original version? But the Rashi Shavili says the other version, says this. He said the Shad is about whether it's Shavu Akol. I said, really? But the Rashi Shavili says, it's Hanok B'Yir Shavu. There are riyas that it might be Hanok, that having Hanok before the beer counts. Okay, it could be, there are riyas that it might be good enough to have Hanok before the beer also. And the answer is because it might not be the Rashi Shavili. It's very debatable whether he really wrote that. Okay. The other thing we need to talk about is, okay, we've finished talking about all the things that do or don't have Kedusha Shvias. What happens when you have something that has Kedusha Shvias and it's Taruvas or has Bliyas from that into something else? Okay. Does that make a difference? Does the dinim of Kedusha Shvias transfer through a Taruvas or into a Bliyas? Do those transfer? So I'm going to give you the rules that they're a little bit complicated. Not like what you would have necessarily expected. Well, not what I would have expected. Okay, and so the din is like this. There's a few cases. The first like this. Let's say we have two foods that both have kedusha shvias. Okay, in my example, I'm going to use, I know this sounds strange, dates and grapes. I'm using them because both of them we know when the time of beer for them is. Okay, dates, the time of beer is Purim, and grapes, it's Pesach. Okay, so for our discussion, we need things that we know when the time of beer is. So a person cooked dates and grapes both with kedusha shvias to them. He cooked them together. So the din is, even though the grapes have a bliya of dates in them, doesn't make a difference. When the time for beer of dates comes, you mevayer the dates. When the time of beer for the grapes comes, you mevayer the grapes. Even though the grapes have absorbed time from the dates, and that time, theoretically, should need beer earlier, it's not true. The fact that even though they were blayed from one another, the dates have the beer at Purim, and the grapes have the beer at Pesach. Okay? What happens if that's all true, but only if the two things both had kedusha shvias. What happens if the dates gave time into grapes that were not from Shemitah? They were from a different year. Okay, what happens if they were cooked with something else? Then the din is, the not Shemitah food needs beer at whatever time the Shemitah food did. So we're not...
Has kedusha shvias? Is that the yellow?
We're going to get to kedusha shvias in 1 second. But it has kedusha shvias. I'm going to... Because they're separate. They're two different directions. You'll hear in a second. I'm going to talk about kedusha shvias in 1 second. But as far as the beer part of it, when the dates need beer at Purim, if I cook those dates with anything else that was not kedusha shvias, it also needs beer at Purim. It has a bliya of something that needs kedusha shvias, and it needs kedusha shvias at the time that the dates did. Even though, when it was cooked with shvita fruit, it does not need beer. What happens if it's... What about what Jeff said about whether it has kedusha shvias or not? Whether it has kedusha shvias or not? So the Rambam says, not in Hilchos Shmita. This is in Hilchos Machalos Asuras. The Rambam says that if you cook Shmita produce with anything else, if it's min b'minoi, then it has kedusha shvias even mashu. Why? He says it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. Because having kedusha shvias is something, the food is mutter, you just have to eat it the right way. He says, so, it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and it's b'mashu. It doesn't make a difference, no matter how little there is in there, if it's min b'mino, for davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's not batal at all, and it's going to have kedusha shvias. Our question of beer is not a question that does not relate to this thing, it's a different child. Because beer means it's going to become usher at a certain point.
Davar sheyesh lo matirin means there's some way
of using it better. Davar sheyesh lo matirin, the Gemara says, why eat it? It's served by eating the heter.
Whatever is heter is heter. Whatever it is, it never changes. The heter never changes.
So, but now we have...
It becomes heter.
The heter became iser.
The iser becomes heter. It's also now in this form, in that thing that was awesome becomes mutter. Something that's always mutter awesome one way, always mutter the other way.
It's like truma. It's like truma.
Okay, wait, I'm trying to do this again. Say it again.
What the conscious is the just had it. We have a chat of this other with
I don't really answer your question. The Rambam says that it's considered Darshish Matirin. So you're saying to me, it's not Darshish Matirin because...
Again, you haven't changed it.
Okay, I don't know. It might be different. It might be different again because here there's a belief of the Shemitah stuff into the non-Shemitah stuff. So it's not two separate things. The Shemitah stuff is mixed into here also. I'm not sure. I don't really answer the question. What do you want to say, though? If it's mimbish enimina, then it goes by the rules of bittul, so it has to have shishim. If it's not in time or without it's in time, then that's what it is. Okay, now, what's the reason why when you have two things, the dates and the grapes that both have kedushah shlishis mixed together, we say that you don't have to follow the holy time of year, but when we had the Shemitah stuff and the not Shemitah stuff, then you need a shishim to hang it. What's the reason for that? What's the difference between the two cases? If either you should care about the bliyah, or you should not care about the bliyah.
That's the shishim material.
What's the shishim material?
They have different dates.
What? Can I eat by the earlier date? Can I eat by the earlier time? I can eat by the earlier time. Do the same thing. So he says, so Krakowski says, I'm sure he's saying it from somebody, but that's where I saw it. He says, the difference is like this. When I have two things that both have Kedusha Shvi'is mixed together. Okay? From today's perspective, those two things are equal. They both have the exact same din. They're both allowed to be eaten. You have to eat them with Kedusha Shvi'is. And one day they're going to have a din of beer. But basically, they're equals. So when the bliya from one goes into the other one, it's not a taruvus of Isser and Heter. They're both equal. They're of equal status. So that we as if ignore the bliya that's going across from one to the other. Because they're of equal standing. Now, in 6 months from now, it's going to make a difference were you a date or were you a grape. But basically, they're equal things, and the bliya makes no difference. But when in the case when I'm putting the Shemitah stuff with non-Shemitah stuff, then it's essentially Isser going into Heter. Because this has rules of Kedusha Shvi'is and this one does not. So when the bliya comes, when the bliya goes from one to the other, it's making a difference that it's coming from there to there. But therefore, the bliya goes across and causes it to have dinim of Kedusha Shvi'is and dinim of beer. But when it has from Shemitah to Shemitah, that makes a difference. They're basically equals and there's no bliyas. Okay? To me, I was a little confused by that. I have to tell you. I was a little confused by that because usually we say it the other way around. We usually say the rules of bittul don't apply when Heter mixes into Heter. But okay, that's what he says. Now, what happens if... So he therefore says, he answers the Dovid's question, which is, what happens if the taruvas happen after the time of beer passed? So that, in other words, it's already after Purim, and you cook the dates and the grapes together. Now the dates have a different status than the grapes do, and therefore the dates would make the grapes usher, even though they're Shemitah into Shemitah. Because it's only when they're the equals into each other that they don't make a bliya. Here, where the dates are already Isser, because they passed the time of beer and you didn't do beer, then now it could give a time to other food and it does affect it. Okay, one last question. What happens if you cooked our dates in a pot and nothing, you ate up all the food, it's gone. Okay. Now comes Purim and there's the chiv of beer on the dates. The dates are actually gone. You've eaten them months ago. Are you mechuyev to kasher that pot? The pot has bliyas of Shemitah produce in it. It's the time of year for those dates. So are you mechuyev to kasher the pot now before you use it? Because it has a bliya of something that is usher. Dates would be usher now because if you didn't do beer, you'd be usher now. Okay? So the...
Shabbat
what do you say?
Shabbat should say it's mutter.
He does, but why do you think he would stay there? Just because he's a nice guy, and what do you think?
The second reason is because they said it's a little beer, it's not an instrument.
Okay, and therefore?
Like they said by, by Meister Shady. By Meister, right?
They were.
The beer don't have to, the Meister Shady. You have to do Meister Pilsner.
Okay. He said something very simple, you're right. Anyhow, but so the first
thing. When they get to that seat,
we talked about bleeds for the most. I don't remember. You might be right. Oh, yeah. It sounds vaguely familiar. Okay. So the over here, the Rosh Shemilia again comes in and he says, yes, you have to kasher it. Well, why not? Of course you have to kasher it. He even says that if it would be klicheres, it would be no good. You have to break it. Okay. It comes out a funny thing according to the Rosh Shemilia is that you're going to have to keep track of your pots. I have to mark my pot. Every time I cook something in it that has Kedusha Shvi, I have to mark it down. Okay, today I cook potatoes, and tomorrow I cook onions, and the next day I cook this thing, and then keep track of when it needs to be kasher, because come the time of beer for each of those things, you're going to be kashering them, and then, once you kasher it, you're done, and I start a new record of all the foods that are in there, and kasher it again, and then
torch it. What about the leaves in the water?
In which water?
What are you kashering?
To get the bleeds out.
So now where are the bleeds?
In the water.
So why are you worried about the bleeds in the water?
Every time we catch it, that's a good question. But we do it every time we catch it. Every time we catch
it.
Now, logically, if I didn't catch it at the end of the day, it's not going to answer the food that I cooked in there?
Correct. Okay. So actually, it's a good point. Actually,
it's a good point. It starts off as a bleed
shall have there. Yes.
So there's no that for now.
It's... That's correct also. Yes, it starts with that. Well, by the time I'm kashering it, it's Isser now.
No, but if you
kash it early.
You cook anything in it.
Earlier. Yes, that's true.
You don't
You can do benyamin. No, you can only do benyamin if you kasher it before. You kash it before the time of beer. Right? He didn't have to kash it before. He's thinking you're kashering it after the time of beer. Okay? That's actually an interesting point, because when he said that, there are those who say when there's something that...
Here it's all... You're only talking about... You're talking about the dates?
The dates. I cook dates in a pot by itself. I just cook them.
Oh, okay.
So it's just, it's that's right. No grapes anymore. I didn't figure this before, but there are those who say that the only reason why I'm kashering this kli, the only kashering the kli is because they're in a binyan mode, the binyan mode. And there are those who say that only applies when it could at least be usher when it was a binyan mode. But if I cook dates today, and they're not going to have a time of beer until Purim, so maybe I'm not mechuyav to kasher because it can never be usher when it's a binyan mode. Because within the next 24 hours, it's not going to be Purim. So these grapes are never going to be, these bleas are never going to be usher with the raisa. If I cook in the next 24 hours, it's before Purim. If I cook after 24 hours, it'll be in the binyan. Maybe there's no zero in the binyan to binyan.
Cook right before the sun.
If I cook the dates on Tainus Esther, then I have a problem. Okay, so maybe. Okay, anyhow. So
then if you cook it every day, so you have the
No, those are Hanan Kanan. You wouldn't say Hanan Tepter. It would not be a problem. Okay, I'm not sure what this is. But let me just tell you what the Stifler says and Rosham Zam. They both say that it's not true. They say, come on. Anybody ever hear this beforehand? Anybody hear that you employed the Kashi or Kalim comes the time of beer? No one ever heard of such a din, except for the Rashi really, but no one ever heard of such a din that he starts the Kashi or Kalim. He said, nah, you're not Mukhoy.
Doesn't bring it down the Gemara.
Does not bring down the Gemara. No one says it. I guess you could say, well, if it's Isser, of course you have the Kashi. But the Stifler says like this. He says, the din is, that if a person, the Rambam says, that if a person has a pot of food, and the food is going to be chayv and beer, but he's already started eating from that pot, not mechuyav to do beer on the rest of it. Why? It's sort of like beer means you make it available for people to eat. Don't hoard it for yourself, but make it available. Don't take more than something you need for yourself. This food is about to be eaten anyhow, so it's sort of like that's okay. You can keep this, like keeping muzzin shalosh shudas. You can keep what you have. You can finish eating it. So if you started eating it, then you're not mechuyav to do beer. So the Stifler says, well, guess what? If I have a bli in a pot, that means I started to eat from it, because I already cooked it, and the food that's in the pot, presumably, I ate already. So it's as if I started to eat from the food, so the part that I left behind in the pot, that's just the end of the food. If it had been a pot of food, I don't have to do beer on the whole pot. So as soon as I started eating it, I don't have to do beer for the rest. So the part that's left behind is like the leftovers of the pot, and I don't have to do beer on that. And Rosh Hashanah says, the mitzvah of beer is to take the food and not keep it for yourself, but make sure that everybody can have from it. So you take a little bit for yourself and everybody else can have from it. He says that whole mitzvah only applies for foods that are accessible. If you have a food that's locked up, absorbed into the walls of a pot, then the whole mitzvah of beer wouldn't apply to that food. The mitzvah beer is to say, let everybody have it. Come on, take it. Well, nobody can take it anyhow. You can't pull it out of the pot anyhow. So the whole mitzvah beer doesn't even start on that kind of a food. It doesn't even get started like that because it's not fit even at all to like that. Okay. One last point. We talked about that it could be there are those who hold that there's no tam ki ikar on things that are only mitzvah say. Okay, there is tam ul mamashah, but there's no tam ki ikar on things that are only a chiyav asay on an isra asay on a food, which could be another answer over here. Okay, over here, the chiyav of beer is an asay, so it could be that there's no tam ul mamashah. I'm sorry, there is tam ul mamashah. There's no tam ki ikar, in which case there's no chiyav of hagol. Hagol is because of tam ki ikar. Okay, pass on that.